As I mentioned earlier, we're in Joshua chapter 5 today as we're preaching through at least part of Joshua. Have you ever bumbled into an opportunity and wished you were more prepared, more ready to take advantage of the opportunity? Have you ever sat down for a major exam only to wish you had studied? Have you ever come upon a spiritual battle and realized you're not ready? How do we be ready for faith trials and spiritual opportunities? Recently, just a few days before our deacon ordination, I sent a text to deacons about dress code and basically said, you're on your own. But I said, consecrate yourselves. I wanted them to come to the ceremony clean and spiritually ready to hear from God because it was an important event. And consecration does not require a specific ceremony, but sometimes a ceremony helps. And we're going to read about one such ceremony in Joshua 5 this morning as God was preparing Israel to take the promised land, the land that he had promised their ancestors generations before. And there were some important and pretty severe battles ahead, and they needed to be ready. So in Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Ha'araloth. Now this is why he did so. All those who came up out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place, and these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. And you probably have a footnote there about Gilgal. It sounds like the Hebrew word for roll. And so the place was named because God said, I have rolled away your reproach. But back up to verse 1, which we read last week, and we said, because it directly relates to the last verse of chapter 4, God had done this big miracle event at the river and having them cross on dry ground so that all the nations would hear of his power, and so that Israel's faith would be encouraged. And here in verse 1, Joshua notes immediately how the nations had melted in fear and their courage had waned. In other words, the very people that Israel was going to have to fight had lost their courage because of what God had done. And Joshua sets up the next event, really, by that comment. It sets up this next event of consecration and faith. God commanded Joshua to circumcise the Israelites. Of course, he was talking about the men, the males, the sons of Israel. This was a ritual and a physical sign of the covenant that God made with Abram. I still don't understand all the reasons God chose that sign, that method, but that's what he chose. And you can read about it in Genesis chapter 17, where it was the same time that God changed Abram's name from Abram to Abraham, and he told him to be circumcised and all the men in his house and there ever after. And by the way, Abraham was 99 years at that time, 99 years old at that time. And flint knives were part of the original tools for circumcision. And maybe that's why Joshua was told to make flint knives to do this ceremony. I read one source that said, well, actually, obsidian flint, which was common in the area, might have been sharper than their metal tools of the day. But I don't know if that's why or not. What we do need to note, that Joshua was immediately obedient. He did what God commanded him to do. And verse 4 tells us why. I mean, it's just very specific. This is why God had them do it. God told Joshua to put the ritual into practice because this whole generation of men had not been circumcised. Their parents were the rebellious generation that refused to trust God enough to go into the promised land 40 years earlier. And so they were sentenced to wander in the wilderness until they all died off. And they, during that 40 years, they had failed to put this ritual into practice, indicating, again, a huge gap in their faith practice. That rebellious generation was barred from going into the promised land. Even though God had offered it to them earlier, they did not trust God to defeat those pagan nations who lived there. They did not trust God to safely take them into the land, and they basically refused. We can't go there. We're scared. And that cost them 40 years in the wilderness while that generation died off. Let me ask you this. Do we trust God enough to take us to new places? Do we trust God to fight our battles and deal with our enemies? Or do we retreat in fear? God raised up a whole new generation to take the land. He had to. And the book of Deuteronomy is addressed to that new generation. Moses retaught the law for this younger generation, and he emphasized the mistakes of their parents and told them how to move forward in faith and obedience. Now, about this particular day, we're not given many details. I mentioned to you last week that their census indicated well over 600,000 men of fighting age. That's a lot of procedures to perform in one day. It doesn't tell us how Joshua got it done. Obviously, he employed some help, and they had a system. But according to the writing, it was done immediately. They didn't schedule the procedure over several months to keep part of their fighting force in order. You know, that's what we would have done. Let's get, and especially if we had a government involvement, you know, we're going to schedule it out over a long period of time, and we're going to introduce some bureaucracy and make sure all of our things are covered. But no, it just says they did it, apparently, very rapidly. I think that indicates that Joshua and the leadership trusted God enough. They didn't worry about having their military prepared. God told them to do it, and they trusted God, and so they did it. Now, they knew that it would put them at risk if they were attacked. They knew this because they had done their ancestors, not this generation, but several generations before, their own people had done this to the people of Shechem. Back during Jacob's sons, and you can read about it in Genesis 34. They had a sister named Dinah, and some men from a prince from Shechem took advantage of Dinah, and her brothers wanted to get back at the men there, and they made up this trade agreement with them, and they said, but if you're going to trade with us, you have to be circumcised. So all the men of Shechem did it, and while they were healing, the Hebrew guys attacked them and killed them all. So they knew it put them at risk to do this ceremony, but they followed through in faith and obedience. In verse 9, there is this incredible declaration from the Lord. It points Israel to their history and their future. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. I have taken away the shame of your slavery in Egypt. I have removed the stain of guilt you inherited. I have cleaned up my nation and brought you into the land I designed for you." They were consecrated, cleaned up, renewed, set apart for new work, new battles, new victories. The sin of their people was rolled away by the grace of the Lord God Almighty. It was God's initiative to extend this grace, and the people responded in faith. Is this starting to sound familiar? The initiative of God to extend grace, and we experience it through faith in Him. And this, Tim and I talked about the words being rolled away, and that might remind you of a New Testament event. Rolling away of a stone, the stone that covered Jesus' tomb. A God-initiated event it initiated a new covenant. And we are under that covenant of relationship with God through faith in His Son, Jesus. We trust God and we receive His grace. We confess our sin. We repent, place our faith in Jesus, and experience His grace and mercy. When the stone of Jesus' tomb was rolled away, everlasting victory burst forth. Guilt was erased. New life became available to all of us. Now, we're no longer required to perform this practice of circumcision as a mark of the covenant. That was a physical sign for Israel prior to the Messiah's resurrection, and it is no longer required. Paul taught us that we Gentiles do not need to satisfy that element of the Mosaic law, but we do need to cut away anything in our hearts that's causing a lack of faith. Sin causes a heart problem. Sin causes our hearts to harden. Apathy causes hardness of heart. Sometimes reaction to pain and suffering can cause us to harden our hearts. Today, is your heart hardened by sin? You need to cut off the sin and have your heart restored. Confess the sin, repent. That means turn away from the sin and get back on the path to following God. Have you become hardened by disappointment, fear, anxiety, trauma, grief? Those kind of things harden us. Maybe you need a little spiritual surgery this morning. Are you seized by doubt or just quit caring? Feels like your prayers don't go anywhere? You may need your spiritual heart trimmed up, pruned. God prunes those He loves. That's us. if you are in Christ, you do not need to be resaved or rebaptized, but you may need some old stuff trimmed away, you see. You may need some renewal to be ready for God's Word. Because God deserves our whole self. We need to come to Him wholeheartedly, not with a hard crust built around our spiritual heart, but tenderly, so we may experience His love and follow His direction. Paul wrote in the letter to the Colossians in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, he wrote, "In Him, in Christ, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead." Now that is a theological mouthful, and you might need to reread that and think about it for a while. Our old self, our flesh, is cut off by the death of the Messiah, who we join in baptism, and we're raised to new life by the same power that brought Jesus out of the grave. Like I said, you may need to chew on that a while. That's okay. Paul said it a little more succinctly in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come." He was describing the nature of our salvation in Christ when we trust Him. By God's grace, our old life is buried in Christ and we are raised to new life with Him. That's what we act out in baptism. And that Colossians passage describes how it's cutting away or putting away our old life. And it relates circumcision and baptism. And I'm not saying that those are the same things, but they both signify relationship with God. They both signify cutting away the old self and beginning new life. And so I ask you today, do you need to confess your sinful condition, change directions, and follow Jesus Christ in faith? Do you need for your old life to be buried, put away, and begin new life? Today's the day. If you know that is your need, why would you put it off? Today is the day to do so. And you can come to the front, and we're going to help you. We want to help you with that. I heard an old preacher, Peter Lord, say, "Good church manager is getting right with God when he's dealing with you." So if you need to come to the front, you just come on. But here in a minute, we're going to have some music, and that might make you more comfortable to move. That's fine, but I don't want you to put it off. If you need to get right with Christ, today's the day. And as I mentioned, if you're already a follower of Jesus, but you need to repent and be renewed, you don't need to be baptized again. You don't need to get resaved. But we do want to help you get back on the right path and experience the fullness of your salvation. You may need to trim some things away. And be careful how you hear this. I'll try to be careful how I say it. Sometimes we need to trim away good things. Things that are not immoral, but things that might be getting in the way of us being who we need to be or going where we need to go. And if that's the case, God will make it clear to you. It's not a guessing game. His Spirit will lead you to know. Sometimes we just need to get things out of the way so we can be who we need to be and go where we need to go with God. And we're also going to practice communion this morning. It's another ceremony that helps us be ready. It helps us be clean and ready and to follow the Lord. It is a reminder of what Jesus has done for us in his death and resurrection. And he invited us to practice this. He didn't put a limit on it. In our tradition, we only intend to baptize once, but we take the Lord's Supper as often as we desire. And he said, when you do it, remember me. Remember what I did for you. And Paul also told us that before we come to the table, we should examine ourselves. And if there's something in the way of our relationship with the Lord, we need to take care of it. And so we're going to have an invitation before we do communion this morning, just to give you some time to talk to the Lord. Ask God, is there something that I need to take care of here? And if he reveals it to you, do it. The altar is open for prayer. You're welcome to come to the front. Somebody can pray with you. There may be someone there nearby that you would like to pray with. And if you need to give your life to Christ for the first time this morning, then I invite you just to simply walk down to the front and let us help you. Music team, would you please come? We're just going to have some instrumental music for a while, and you just remain seated unless you need to move. Like I said, you are welcome to come to the front and pray or ask for counsel. Otherwise, just listen to the music and pray, and then here in a little bit we'll join together in singing and worship. Father, we do commit this time to you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to move, to do the surgery on our hearts that needs to be done, so that we are consecrated, ready, cleaned up, and in your service. Thank you, Lord.